Amen. So anyway, I have a message this morning called Valentine's Day's Bible Kisses. So bear with me. Let's say Psalms 85:10. So I'm excited about this. We're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus, and we're going to study some scriptures. Everybody amen? So Psalms 85:10. It says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Everybody say amen. There are many types of kisses. There's the kiss that you give your mother. There's the kiss that you give your sister or your brother. And then there are kisses that you give your spouse. We all understand that. A kiss is an expression of love and affection. Now, our culture, and the devil definitely has got involved in all this and has tried to reduce the kiss to a cheap act of lustfulness. So, this morning, during this Valentine's Day week, I'd like for us to look at a few kisses mentioned in the Bible. Everybody ready? All right, so we can learn a lot from studying about kisses in the Bible. We're going to look at 7 examples this morning. And I think that we can learn some biblical truths, some principles that we can apply into our life. So we're going to get into the meat now. We're going to look at the 7. It's not going to take that long. You're thinking 7 things. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. So if you're taking notes, let's look at the first example of this biblical kiss. The first one is called the kiss of God's attributes. And it's really taking a little short look at the verse that we have of the day. Mercy and truth, which is Psalms 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Now think about this with me now. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now consider how difficult it is to get mercy and truth together. Because see, truth is absolute holiness without error or hypocrisy. Okay? And mercy is overlooking this. It's overlooking error and hypocrisy. Now, the same can be said about righteousness, the righteous judgment of God, and peace. Okay? Let's look at the scripture. An unbeliever, a sinful man, finds righteousness to be frustrating. Yet he cannot have true peace without it. Yet our verse this morning says that these seemingly opposite things have come together. That's what the scripture says. They have come together and they have kissed each other. Now, how can this happen? I'll tell you how. Only through Christ. Only through the cross of Christ. John 1:17 says this. John 1:17. For the law was given to Moses. Okay, on this hand. The law was given to Moses. Okay, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So you had this righteousness of God, and then you had the grace and mercy of Christ. So what happens is Christ joined, this is beautiful, Christ joined God's holy righteousness and his overwhelming love. It all rested right there on Christ, right on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, both sides of God's attributes were brought in harmony through the salvation that Christ gave us on the cross. Everything old, everything new, Everything was all wrapped up and summed up in the cross. Everything. It's a beautiful kiss. Amen. All right, example two. Example two. The faithful kiss of salvation. It's Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, 37 and 38. I'll read it. It says, when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. Wow. What a beautiful scene. You see, Simon, the Pharisee, was upset at this harlot, this lady, and what she was doing, you know. But Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach Simon about forgiveness, to teach Simon about mercy. You see, this sinner, this harlot, this sinner had taken it upon herself to honor Jesus. Honor. Remember that word. Honor. To honor Jesus. You see, when we receive God, okay, we place our faith in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there's a difference. There's something that happens in our heart. There's a change that takes place within our heart. You see, that person who's truly born again, they start looking for ways to honor Christ. Well, that person starts looking for ways in their life, practical ways in their life to honor Jesus. Listen closely. Each of our attempts to honor Jesus are like kisses to Him. They're precious. Now, Lynn and I raised 3 boys. Amen. And they're all doing good now, praise Jesus. Now, when the boys were little, her and I would kiss them on the head. They'd kiss them on the cheek, you know, when they were little. And we'd kiss them goodnight and that kind of thing. And then they got, you know, 12, 13, and okay, you know, 15, 16, and pretty soon, I don't know, it all kind of stopped. That little kissing on the cheek and on the head. Now, you still kiss your 23-year-old on the head? That's all cool. That's great. But most boys, most girls, you know, they kind of start growing out of that when they get to teenagers and late teens. Doesn't always happen that way. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they got to start growing up and they get away from that. Here's my prayer for us this morning. As followers of Christ, as believers, I hope we never grow up so much that we quit showing our affection for the Lord. Whether that's our personal prayer time or our personal worship time, our personal Bible study time, that we get quiet and we tell the Lord that we love Him. I love you. You ever tell Jesus you miss Him? He's always there, but sometimes we back away. He misses you. Sometimes He misses you. He misses your time. We're all so busy, right? I don't know if that's biblical or not, but I feel that in my spirit that sometimes He misses us. He wants to spend time with us. So remember, each of our attempts to honor Him are like kisses to him. So my question this morning is, have you kissed the Savior lately? Have you honored him lately? Have you honored him in what you do, in your actions, in your time spent with him? Amen? This is a good question. Example three. Everybody good? Example three. The family kiss of the brethren. The family kiss of the brethren. Now, Romans chapter 16, verse 16, and also mentions this, I think, four other times in the New Testament, but it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, in several places, Paul encourages the believers to greet one another with a kiss. And this holy kiss, as the Bible calls it, really would be the equivalent of today, maybe, of a heartfelt handshake. Or maybe a heartfelt hug. I was asking Heath this morning, you know, it's just a question, but why do we not really hug? You know, why do men not really hug each other? We get that one arm tap. And I understand the basics of all that, you know. With this, during the meet and greet, Heath and I met down here, and we just gave each other a big old bear hug, like boom, squeezed, and it was actually, you know, it was actually pretty cool. You know, what is behind Paul encouraging us to kiss each other? Really, this was a sign. This was a sign of true affection, and a sign of blessing one another. There's a number of times, many times, that the Bible encourages us to kiss each other, to show affection, to love each other. And really, this is a holy God-given opportunity. The holy kiss was a result of God-inspired love. You got to stay focused with there. It was God-inspired love. And I understand that our social norms today would tell us that kissing others in church is a big no-no. And I agree with that, right? But the demand, the command, and the demand for us to love each other will never go out of style. It never will. Example four. The farewell kiss of separation. The farewell kiss of separation. In Acts 20, 36 through 38. Acts 20, 36 through 38. It's talking about Paul's goodbye. And Paul had all this to say, and then the scripture reads, when he had said this, and listen closely to this, when he had said this, they knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. See, the Christians in Ephesus obviously loved Paul. They loved him tremendously. The moment of saying goodbye brought incredible sorrow to them. Now, the context of this passage was really talking about how they laid over in his neck and they hugged him and they kissed him and they embraced him and they hugged him because they loved him so much. It was sorrowful, and they hugged and kissed, and they bonded with each other. Sometimes we have to say goodbye. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to people that we love. And it's sad, and it hurts. Some of you remember those times when your son or daughter left and went off to college, and you say goodbye. Maybe they went in the military and they were gone to dangerous places. And you remember how it's sad and it hurts. Maybe it was missionaries gone to away for months and months and months. Maybe it was a pastor that got called to serve another church and it was sad to see him go. It could be a close family member that accepted a job in another city and you had to say goodbye and it was sad and it hurt. Maybe those times when we're saying goodbye at the coffin, it hurts and sad. Some of those kisses we never, ever forget. Example 5. The foolish kiss of idolatry. The foolish kiss of idolatry. Hosea 13:2 says this. Now they sin more and more. They make idols for themselves from their silver, cleverly fashioned images, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of these people, they offer human sacrifices and they kiss the calf idols. See, in Hosea's times, they were these folks that were very skilled and craftsmen. And they would build little tiny idols with ropes and put them around their neck. And they would take those little idols around their neck and they would kiss them. I mean, you know, does that sound familiar? They had a little idol and they kissed a little idol. They would build idols throughout the city. And they would stop by and they would kiss the idols. And they would kiss the Buddha. I mean, they would kiss the idols, right? It was customary. They thought they were showing reverence and they were honoring these gods by doing this. And Hosea here was basically telling them how foolish this is. This is meaningless. This is not true. This is now, do we? You know, would we ever bow our knees and kiss idols today like that? Some do in other religions for sure. But idolatry isn't dead. It just looks different. You know, in America, we have our idols, right? We have our sports gods, and we have our music gods, and we have our entertainment gods, and we have our money and power gods that people will definitely bow down and kiss. It shouldn't be that way, especially for believers. I know some of you threw yourself at Elvis, so don't feel bad about that, right? I'll never forget my mom telling a story about her friend. My mom couldn't go, her parents wouldn't let them go see Elvis, and her friend went from Akedale. I don't even remember where they went, but she caught a scarf, Elvis's scarf. And I remember my mom telling the story about how this lady passed out. Literally, passed out. Boom. It's kind of funny, but, you know, we can stretch it, can't we? We can stretch it to the point where it becomes an idol and we were just more than willing to lay down and kiss. Number six. Example 6. Ready? The friendly kiss of hypocrisy. The friendly kiss of hypocrisy. This is Luke chapter 22, verse 47 and 48. Luke 22, 47 and 48. It says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Think about that. When Judas kissed Jesus that night in the garden, he not only was identifying him as the one to arrest, but he was also acting as though he had affection toward Jesus. Wow. I mean, when I was studying this, I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to get a whole sermon around that one right there. So y'all be ready. It's coming one day. Really think about that. He was pretending like to have affection for Jesus. And at the same time, stinking him right in the back. This unashamed attempt at innocence was not missed by Jesus. Nah, Jesus busted him out right in front of everybody. He called him out. Now, this is my own words, but I kind of picture it like this. Jesus said, "Dude." You know, he probably didn't say dude, but he probably said, "Man, you're betraying me with a kiss? What in the world are you thinking? You're betraying me with a kiss?" That goes deep, y'all. Proverbs 27:6. Proverbs 27:6 says this. Listen closely. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy is deceitful. You see, Satan will use every trick he can to deceive us, to trick us. He'll even use the false love of an enemy. Someone pretending that they care about you. Even pretending that they love you. The devil will use that to try to get a foothold. Beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. The last one, example 7. Example 7. The forgiving kiss of compassion. The forgiving kiss of compassion. And we all heard the story. It's from Luke 15:20. Luke 15:20 about the prodigal son. It says, "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still on a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." Wow. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful picture of God's love toward us. The prodigal son really expected, he expected to be rebuked or disciplined or had consequences. He probably expected at least a, "I told you so," right? But he didn't get any of that. Instead, he was welcomed in with open arms and with joy and gratitude and happiness. You see, God stands right here today. God stands ready to accept our repentance if it need be. He said he was faithful and just, and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though you may feel like, some of you maybe you don't feel like you're close to God. You feel like you're miles away. But God is willing. He is willing and waiting to run right to you, to run and let you fall into his arms, and he will restore you unto himself. As I close, kisses can mean a lot of different things. As we looked at examples of the Bible kisses, we saw they can be affectionate sign of love, or it can be the hypocritical sign of betrayal. But the one thing I got from this and studying this is the honorable kiss, that service, that honoring God, that honorable kiss to God can bring many blessings and can bring many great benefits in our life. So we honor the Lord. Have you kissed the Father this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Well, I just pray for the folks that are listening to this right now. If they've never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, during this song of invitation, I pray they'll come down and pray with me and talk with me. Or maybe someone wants to get baptized or join the church. This would be a great time. Father, we give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.